Swing to the shoulder.
All right, ladies. Up, 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 up. This is Jason Albert, and you are listening to Nordic Nation from Faster Skier. In this episode, we catch up with British national ski team member Andrew Musgrave in Livigno, Italy. He's been there for a pre-World Champs high altitude camp, and this interview was actually recorded on January 24th when Musgrave was still depleting himself of oxygen a bit in Italy. The 26-year-old from Scotland is a rising talent on the World Cup. Certainly, he's from a non-traditional Nordic ski country, and making his way from Alaska to Scotland to Norway was no small feat. Yep, you heard that right. Musgrave has actually skied as a junior in Alaska, and then in Scotland, and more recently, he is based in Norway. He now ranks 20th overall in the World Cup and 17th on the distance list. His best World Cup race came recently on January 21st in Sweden, where Musgrave placed 6th, 18.7 seconds back from winner Canadian Alex Harvey. And when the Scot was 23, he made national news in Britain by winning the 2014 Norwegian Freestyle Sprint National Championship just a month or so before the Sochi Games. Okay, there's your intro. Now it's on to Musgrave. Who do you ski for, and where are you based most of the year?
Well, my name's Andrew Musgrave, as you probably gathered, and I race for the British team. I come from the northeast of Scotland, but I'm currently living in Norway. So I'm based out of Trondheim at the moment. I also race for a private team in Norway called Team Leesplan.
You've always kind of caught my eye for a couple of reasons. One is that it's obviously a small team. You come from a non-traditional Nordic country when it comes to, you know, cross-country skiing, and you're having a real solid year. I think this past weekend, you came in 6th in the skate race. Am I correct about that?
Yep, that's correct, indeed.
So, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, it was a pretty good weekend. nothing apart from that.
You know, when I do my background research on you, you obviously won a Norwegian national championships, it looks like, in a skate sprint prior to Sochi. From looking at a BBC video clip, that you really kind of considered yourself a sprinter. And how do you perceive yourself now?
Yeah, I don't at all think of myself as a sprinter now. And I definitely just think of myself as a distance skier now. And prior to Sochi, I mostly thought of myself as a distance skier, to be honest. But I was focusing quite a lot on the sprint in Sochi because I can do well on a hard sprint course at altitude if it's skate. And that was what Sochi was. So I thought that should suit me pretty well. It didn't end up going as well as I'd have hoped, but that was the event that suited me best in Sochi.
The Norwegians are obviously fairly stacked, you know, when it comes to, or just loaded with lots of good skiers. And, you know, winning a sprint championship in a place, and I looked at the start list from that race, and there's some very solid skiers represented, obviously. And you win that. What does your physiology tell you, or what do your coaches tell you, or what do you sense yourself that, you know, I consider myself a distance skier and not a sprinter?
Well, I'm just quite slow, to be honest, is why I consider myself a distance skier, not a sprinter. In an out-and-out sprint, I am, like, quite slow. So when I won the Norwegian Nationals, it was a really hard course in Lillehammer. And it was snowing an absolute ton, so it was soft and it was loose and there's big hills, so it made it a bit hard for the sprinters who ended up sort of wading through the deep snow. And I think it suited me as a bit of a lighter kind of distance guy, that I could go faster than the heavier, stronger, more powerful sprinter guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of amazing to watch. I mean, once you started that high tempo kind of jump skate a bit, you just took off and dropped everybody.
Yeah, I don't quite know how I managed that, I must have just had a good day, and a little bit of luck, good skis, good form on the day, So yeah, but it was definitely in the uphills that I managed to get away from the other guys. If like Hattestad or any other sprinters had kept up to the finish, I'm pretty sure they would have sprinted away from me up the final straight.
How do you go about choosing which races you're going to race? I believe that most often you don't race the full World Cup schedule. So how do you go about organizing that?
I tend to pick out the events that suit that I feel like suit me best. Or in previous years, I've done that. This year, I've done it a little bit different. I've done the majority of the World Cups pre-Christmas. And I've done the first World Cup in Sweden after the Tour de Ski. And in previous years, then I've continued doing more racing on the World Cup after that. Whereas this year, I've decided to just focus fully on the World Champs now. So I've, like, it's going to be a bit of a shame missing Fallon this weekend. And not either not doing the Norwegian Championships, like I've tended to do, or the trial event for the Olympics in Pyeongchang. I've decided that what's best for going fast at the World Championships is just to sack off doing any more racing and head to altitude and get a good training block in. I'm sitting here in the hotel room watching everybody else racing, wishing I could be there. Got to do what's best for the World Champs. So I'm going to be going back home to Norway for the 2 weeks prior to the World Champs and just chilling out there. And then I'll head out a few days before the 30K in Lahti.
Okay, and is that the event in particular that you're focusing on in Lahti?
Yeah, I think that's the event I've got the best chance of doing well in. This year I've just been looking almost exclusively at the 30K, but then I'm going to do the 15K and the 50K as well. So I feel like I do have a good chance of doing well in those, but the 30K is the event that suits me best.
You know, this is something that, you know, here in the United States, there's a lot of chatter all the time about funding, and I think there's a movement now to try and get a ski waxing bus, something like the Canadians have, and obviously those bigger nations have those kind of mobile waxing units. Can you describe, like, what actually is the infrastructure of the British Nordic team? You know, how many skiers do you have? And when you're traveling on the World Cup, what kind of techs are running around with you?
Well, on the British team, there are four of us that are doing World Cups this season, and we'll probably have, or four or five, maybe one of the other guys will do a World Cup or two later in the season. So there's one girl and three guys, and then we might have one or two more at the World Championships. It varies a little bit from race to race how much support we have. I've been at races before where I've just had one guy with me who does coaching, team captains, waxing and massage. Last week when I came sixth in Sweden, we had two guys with us, or with me. I was the only athlete there, so I had both of them were doing waxing and testing, and then one of them was doing team captains and all that sort of stuff. So we don't have like the biggest team in the world. And we do get support through the Scottish Institute of Sport as well. And so at some selected races, we'll have a physio with us that the Scottish Institute of Sport send out, or a physiologist. So at the World Champs, we're going to have a pretty big team, but we don't have that at all the World Cups at all. It depends a lot. It varies a lot from race to race.
It should be noted that the British team has an arrangement with Norway that in effect means this. In exchange for wax tech assistance, Britain allows Norway to use some of its quota of World Cup staff bibs. That means more techs for Norway and possibly faster skis for Brits like Musgrave. Okay, back to the interview. And who is your primary coach? And, you know, I'm wondering, do you work solely with one coach, or do you have a club coach that you also work with based in Norway?
The person I use most for helping training, planning and things like that is the coach of the team I race for in Norway, Team Leesplan. And he's called Hans Christian Stardheim. And it's the first year I've been working with him.
So, you know, from looking at your FIS statistics, when you click on the statistics tab, you know, it brings up a bar chart essentially, of the years that you've been on the World Cup circuit. And it looks like your first points were in 2012 and it runs through 2017. And there's a pretty steady progression from 2012 to 2017. And you almost have not quite double the points, but you had 161 points last year total. And it looks like thus far this year you have 284 points. So from that metric, it sounds like a success. You know, looking at this year alone, how do you explain that?
Yeah, I think like the working with Hans started this year, and like the stuff he's got me working on seems to have like helped a lot. But also I do have to say that last year I had glandular fever during the summer, so I missed a couple of months training there, so that might have something to do with why my season last year wasn't absolutely amazing, because I was in really good form a couple of times during the season, but I just struggled a lot to maintain form throughout the whole season.
What is your coach having you do differently this year than maybe in years past, specific, you know, if you want to talk specifics?
Well, it's not like anything major. It's just maybe getting me to have a little bit more focus on the intensity sessions. So if I'm having an interval session one day, then taking it a little bit easier the day before, or to make sure I'm fully recovered, and just, yeah, having more focus on the intensity sessions. And I think I maybe did a little bit less training early summer and slightly more late summer.
I believe that you've been in three different different ski clubs in three different countries. One being, I think, in Alaska in the US, one being in Scotland, and the other obviously in Norway. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, and all of these were obviously at different times of your life. I think you lived from 5 to 10 in Alaska because your dad was stationed there as part of his job. And then you were back in Scotland and then in Norway. What was best about each? What were culturally some of the positive things that you see or remember?
Yeah, so they're all slightly different. Like you said, when I was in Alaska, I skied with Junior Nordic, or I think it's Anchorage Junior Nordic. To be honest, my memory is a bit rubbish, so I don't remember all that much about it. But I remember just going down, having a good time, hanging out with my friends, skiing around, and it just being like a good, fun way to get into skiing. I suppose that's pretty similar to the club I still represent in Scotland, Huntly Nordic Ski Club, which is where I come from. When I moved back to Scotland after living in Alaska, I basically just joined the ski club there. I wasn't planning like being a pro racer or anything. It was just something I already knew how to do, and that maybe I could meet some other kids my own age when I got there. And yeah, it was pretty similar to like Junior Nordic in Alaska. It was just like good group of kids, good fun, going out, having a good time, messing around on skis, learning how to ski a little bit. And then the club that I race for now in Norway, I think the junior section of the club's pretty similar. Like, big group of young kids that just go out, do some training, have a good time. But then we've also got a couple of us that are seniors that are maybe a little bit more focused. As the club I race for in Norway, it's more I don't do all that much training with the club. Sometimes I go and help out coaching the juniors, but like when you race in Norway, you have to represent a club to get Norwegian Cup points and things like that. And it's a little bit random that I ended up racing for the club I do race for. It was just that I had a mate that was in the club, and he said, "Oh, you should come and join my club, and then we can do the Norwegian Nationals relay together." And that was kind of how I ended up racing for them, because it's an Oslo club, and at the moment I'm living in Trondheim, so I don't get all that much time training with the club.
Do you remember any of those kids that you skied with in Anchorage that were roughly your age?
One of my best mates was Eric Packer, as it happens, which is slightly random. I hadn't seen him for years and years, and then suddenly I met him at the Junior World Championships a few years ago, or quite a few years ago now, getting on. But yeah, and then I've seen him around a lot of years since then, and he was doing the whole first half of the World Cup season this year. So then I met him, or first third, whatever it was, and I met him then. So, yeah.
The Brits that commentate British Eurosport, which here in the US, I think we have to pirate that, but they're great to listen to. But they're really fun to listen to, and they're knowledgeable. They obviously are always keeping an eye out for you. And one of the things I think I heard a couple of years ago, and I'm like, I don't know if this is myth or not. They're like, oh yeah, Musgrave, he picked up the Norwegian language in like a week. Is that true?
Definitely not in a week, no. But I reckon I probably picked it up pretty fast. But that's just when I first moved to Norway, I was finished with secondary school in Scotland. So I was done with school. And I went over and just trained with the ski gymnasium. And I just got stuck in a big house of entirely Norwegians. And I was lucky enough to be able to go to Norwegian classes, like adult learning classes that the local council put on twice a week. So I was doing that twice a week and just living in a house that was entirely Norwegians, all speaking Norwegian with each other. So I was kind of forced to learn it. And Norwegians are also ridiculously good at English. It's quite easy to manage to not speak Norwegian, but the people I lived with were all like really good and tried to like force me to speak a little bit of Norwegian and make me learn it. So I think I ended up learning pretty quickly, but definitely not within a week, no.
And are your classes, like when you are enrolled in engineering classes, are they in English or in Norwegian?
No, my course is in Norwegian, yeah. So.
And there's no problem.
Well, half the textbooks are in English, so if I'm ever confused, I can just look up on Google or look in one of the English textbooks. But no, it's. Nah, it's, yeah, not much of a problem, no.
When you do go back to your club in Scotland and you go home and you're skiing, you know, if you have an opportunity to ski, do kids there and parents ask you questions about maybe there's an aspiring junior, that how do they go about doing what you've done, staying in Scotland? Or at this point, is the only path kind of the path that you've paved where you need to go to a country like Norway, where there's systems in place, lots of very good skiers to test yourself against? Is that something that you might still advise a kid growing up in Scotland?
When you're in Scotland, and the problem is there's just not reliable snow, but like you can do a good job of training, you can do roller skiing, you can learn the basics, get fit. And so I think you can be like, become a fairly decent junior skier just living in Scotland. But like, if you want to make the step up to being one of the best in the world, then like, you just have to have snow time is the major issue. And you just don't get that living in Scotland. So if you want to become world champion, I think you probably do have to end up going somewhere like Scandinavia, Central Europe, just to get the time on snow.
When you see like the success of the US women, you know, is that something that's surprising to you when you look at sort of the culture of, obviously we're not Norway, Finland, Sweden?
To be honest, I don't like actually know all that much about domestic skiing in the United States. So like, I suppose it is a surprise that like someone that's not just one of the traditional countries, it's not Russia, it's not Finland, it's not Norway, that's coming through. But like, I think probably once you get like one or two skiers at a really high level and then the other people on the team start getting to train with them, maybe that just makes it more likely. It gives a better training group and helps the others on the team progress. And like the American women are just like ridiculously good at the moment. So I think that's probably, or maybe something to do with it, just that once one or two of them started going fast, then the others all sort of followed along. And it's kind of, I suppose it's kind of like in Britain at the moment, like I've got me and Andrew Young. Andrew Young was on the podium in the World Cup last year, and both of us have just been like pushing each other year on year. And when one of us does well, then the other sees that, oh, if he can do it, then I can do it. And that sort of has helped us both progress at the same time.
This is the last question, I swear. But, you know, coming from Britain, and I imagine at some point you started to really, I mean, I'm imagining you were able to watch skiing on British Eurosport, maybe as a teenager. When you come across an athlete in Norway, and I want to know who that is, where you're still sort of like, holy smokes, that's so-and-so. I can't believe I'm still, you know, I'm meeting them. Is there a skier like that in Norway that you're still just stoked to either get advice from or meet?
Not going to lie, I didn't have Eurosport when I was living in Britain. So I didn't actually know particularly much about any of the skiers in Norway. I just knew Norway was the skiing nation. And I had a few like recorded Olympic events from Turin that I watched lots of times when I had nothing better to do. But like apart from that, I didn't actually know very much about about cross-country skiers. Or so there's like, when I got to Norway, there were all these like big celebrity well-known skiers, and I hadn't actually got a clue who they were, and I just sort of pretended that I knew who they were.
Well, thanks for your time, and so have a great camp.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for taking the time to call me and have me on.
Thanks for listening to Nordic Nation. We're hoping to have the next episode, which is on the US's bronze medal relay performance at Junior Worlds, out next week. Thanks.